You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean that we won't go off the beaten path, especially on our very first episode of 2019. Happy New Year to everybody listening.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, hopefully it's been a good one so far. I mean, we're only a couple days into it, but we'll see how it plays out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know what else, too? This is like our first regular episode that we've done in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So it's good to get back into the normal swing of things here on the Crispy Noodle. And we'll have sports, entertainment, and odd news to get to in just a little bit. But before we do, Mike, how you doing? How was your New Year's?
I'm pretty good. New Year's was pretty good. We always spend it at my aunt's house. We always do a big family get-together. So got to spend it with all the younger cousins and the older cousins. We had a really fun moment where, we pulled out, have you ever played Fun Employed?
Game you get four character traits, right?
Yeah. What it is,
and
is
you try and justify why you should get a job or something like that.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. One person is the employer and they have like a wacky profession, like, I don't know, space marine or something. And everybody else has characteristics or trait cards, and you have to try and make the best pitch using however many of those cards as you can think of for why you would be the best employee for the best candidate for that job. And we played a big, huge round of it with everybody. We had, you know, my aunt playing, my older cousins playing, my mom playing, the younger cousins playing. It was like 10 or 11 of us playing at one point, and oh my gosh, it was so much fun. It was one of those games where, you know, anybody of any age can jump in and immediately get the gist of it. You know, it was really cool, like, seeing my aunt try to play this game with us, you know? And, you know, she's a few glasses of wine in, so she's...
Ooh, yeah, now we're talking.
She's misunderstanding what people are saying, you know, and she's misreading the cards a little bit. You know, one of them said, like, conservative, and she read it as conservationist, and so her explanations were like wildly.
And
like,
your aunt apparently is illiterate.
I think it was the hour of the day and also the wine.
Okay.
No, a lot of fun was had by all. It was one of those games that brings people together. So we had a lot of fun playing games and eating food and just hanging out with the family on New Year's. What have you been up to, Rich? How was your New Year's?
I'll tack on to that. We played a game with our family. We played a game called The Voting Game.
The Voting Game. I don't think I know that
one. Yeah, you can get it in like a Barnes & Noble. It's not that extensive. What it is like everybody is assigned a number from one to how many players you're playing.
Okay.
And then everyone has secret vote cards.
Ooh.
And then there's a prompt that comes out that's like, who is the most likely to, you know, get arrested or something or whatever.
Okay.
And everyone puts down their vote, but face down.
Right.
And then whoever is the judge counts up the total, and you get the card, whatever the card reads.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun to see what a group of people think about particular individuals.
Right. I ended up getting somehow unpredictable...
I mean, I would be shocked if you didn't get that, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. You just never know what's coming down the pike with me. Like this.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
See, I could play anywhere.
Sure.
I got like that, and I got like, I haven't read a book in 2 years, which is actually true.
Well, you're not a huge reader.
That also makes sense. I usually read. My thing is, I usually read news headlines and sports and stuff like that. So, like,
yeah, you're an internet news junkie,
right?
You're reading the sports, you're reading the entertainment,
right? Yeah. But in terms of actual like literature, no, I can't. I lose interest way too fast. it falls off a cliff.
That's not for everybody.
Yeah. So that one was true. And like a couple of other things too. So it was a good game. It's called The Voting Game. I think you can pick it up at like a Barnes and Noble. It's pretty.
I'll have to check that one out. That's another game that everybody can just jump into.
Right.
And immediately get it.
Yeah. So
those types of games are fun.
Yeah. I like those games.
It's also a fun change of pace too.
Like there are some games. I know you like to play
the big strategy.
Yeah. Games. That kind of bores me after a little bit.
Yeah, you're more of a get right into the action type of person.
Yeah, and be creative and let's have some, you know, wacky responses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's why I love the Jackbox games.
Oh, they're that's perfect another. For that.
Oh, I love those games when you get a whole bunch of people and everyone's got their prompt on their cell phone. And
it's great because you just go to a website. Like, nobody needs anything to play that game other than their phone.
Right.
Which
and
everybody has one.
Yeah, everybody's got a phone on them.
And if they don't have one, I'm sure there's like a tablet at the house you're playing at. You know, that you can lend them or whatever.
Yeah, so, yeah. There you go, our random game recommendations that aren't video games.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, you're there for a really long time. You need something to pass the time on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day,
right.
You know? So, that's what we do. We play games.
Yeah, so, and we did as well. So, there you go. There's your game recommendation that isn't video games.
There you go.
Because we'll cover that.
We're cultured, Rich. We're cultured. It's not just video games here. It's all sorts of games.
Right. We're well-rounded people.
That's right. Yes.
Who can't read. What?
Oh, God. It's a struggle every day.
But somehow we make it through.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our first batch of topics isn't something that we just make it through. Matter of fact, it's something that we are both passionate about. And we got a lot of news to cover in the first part of the show. So let's launch into it. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this first segment, and it's the end of the regular season in the NFL. So we have a lot of topics to get to.
Oh, boy.
Including the Eagles, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But something that I want to talk about that I don't remember there being this many vacancies in terms of head coaching. It just seems like there was a huge wave of just coaches being led to the slaughter.
Yeah.
It happens
every year, but this year especially.
I don't know. Not to this extent.
Yeah.
Mike called it the great coach calling of 2018. And it's true.
There were a lot of them.
Out of 32 NFL teams, 8 of those teams are now looking for new head coaches. That's 1 out of every 4 teams right now.
Yeah.
Has just jettisoned their head coach and has decided to go in a new direction here. So I figure we go over all 8 and just look over, you know, was it well deserved? You know, would this be a ideal coaching situation for you? Do it in alphabetical order, I guess.
Sure.
So the first one, Arizona Cardinals, they went 3-13 this year. Only 1 year out of head coach Steve Wilks, and that was it. Bam, done. We had enough of you.
Well, you know what? You know how I feel about firing a coach after 1 year. They have to do a really bad job. And he certainly did a really bad job, but...
there you go.
You know what, though? Here's the issue with the Cardinals is that I think he caught them at a bad time because they're in a period of transition. You know, they lost Bolden a few years ago. Larry Fitzgerald is on his last legs. I don't even know who they have a quarterback anymore.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah. So, you know, you get this coach.
No, beginning of the year.
Who
was it at the beginning of the year?
It was Sammy Sleaves, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was Sammy Sleaves getting paid $20 million.
Okay, you know what? Maybe Steve Wilks deserves to be fired just for that decision right there. But no, I always feel bad for coaches that come into these teams during these transitionary periods because it's very easy to make a case and say 3-13 definitely gets fired. But look at the hand he's being dealt with. They used to have a pretty good defense. That's no longer there. They used to have the top wide receiver core in the league. That's no longer there. They have no quarterback. So he's coming in with very little.
There's one thing, though.
Yes.
He had, first off, he had Patrick Peterson.
It's also a really tough division, too.
It is a tough division, but you have Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
You should be able to build the defense around him. And then DJ, the running back.
Yeah.
Just...
That's
he had
true.
His he's, lowest.
He's a top five running back.
He had his lowest production in his career this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, that's just basic. You should be able to use your stud running back in an effective manner.
I mean, that could be due to a lot of different reasons. I don't know. It just a first-year head coach, it's always tough for me personally to say, yeah, fire after 1 year, because I don't feel like you really get to see
David
them.
Johnson. You can't use him. You can't muster more than three yards a run out
I
of him.
Agree.
I don't know.
He's probably a terrible coach, but I feel like you need at least one more year to get a real. Think of it this way, okay? Think of it this way. What happens if the Eagles had fired Andy Reid after his first 5-11 season?
But what I'm trying to say is that it's really egregious that you couldn't muster more out of Dustin Johnson. Like, he is a top five stud running back.
Yeah.
And you can't get more out of him.
Yeah.
I think that's egregious enough. Yeah. It shows you don't know what you're doing. You're definitely lost.
Well, the Cardinals are going to have to reset and try again.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Because that team is a team in disrepair. They haven't found a solution at wide receiver. We still don't know about the rookie quarterback, or I guess soon to be second year quarterback, Josh Rosen.
Rosen.
So a lot of questions there. And now, questions at head coach on top of that.
Yep.
It doesn't look like a good situation from them.
But the good news is, since they had the worst record, they get the number one overall pick. So, yay!
Really? The Cardinals had the worst record?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Cardinals own, for the first time since, I think.
Wow.
It's something, like something 25 years or something, for the first time.
Good job, Cardinals.
Yeah.
You can start.
They followed your advice.
Hey,
tanked.
If you're not going to make it, tank.
Yeah.
I guess that's what the Bengals did this year, because they also mutually agreed to part ways with their longtime head coach, Marvin Lewis. Now, this is a coaching decision that I agree with more, because this is an example of a coach who had past success but has been steadily declining. So you can chart the progression.
Yeah.
It's not just one and done. You can see that he's been declining over the years and hasn't been able to turn it around. Where do you stand on this one? Good decision, bad decision?
Bad. He should have been gone a couple years ago, too.
Yeah, he's really struggled the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another one. He's had weapons before.
Right.
You know, AJ Green.
Well, and he was always decent, but recently it's been really bad.
Yeah. So, no, that didn't surprise me at all. He needed to be fired, too.
Yeah.
Although, what technically they wrote in the article, it was a mutual decision. I think they kicked him out. Like, come on.
Really?
I think so.
You think it was just straight up goodbye?
Yeah. Also, he'd been there for a while. I think they didn't want
to. I'm reading this right now. Since 2003, he's been with the Bengals. He did have an overall winning record, and at one point led the team to five straight playoff seasons.
But didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Did not win. Couldn't win under a big pressure game.
To be fair, he had a few bad mishaps in some of them.
Some.
Carson Palmer went down. Andy Dalton went down. You know, those things happen, but five straight seasons, not a single playoff win.
Yeah.
That's rough.
0-7, I think he went in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And I don't think he's been back to the playoffs in a few years, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's one of those examples as they continue to decline.
Yeah.
You got to pull the plug.
Yep.
This next one on this list, Rich, though, is near and dear to your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Your very good friend, Hugh Jackson, was finally fired.
Finally.
By the Cleveland Browns. Actually, one of the best records on this list. However, there's a caveat there that I'm sure you're dying to point out. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, they did better after they fired him this season.
There you go.
Like, it just bothered. If they had followed,
let him have it, Rich. Let him have it.
If they had followed my advice, they might have been a playoff team this year.
They went what 5-2?
5-2, right? Without Hugh Jackson.
Is it 5-3?
Five and two, I think. A winning record.
A lot of wins.
Considering you went 0-16 last year.
Yeah.
They could have fought for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But no, they had to give Hugh Jackson a third try for some odd reason.
Are they technically are they the third or the second team in the AFC North? I think they're the third.
Oh, in terms of the order this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have been third.
Okay.
Yeah.
For second there, I thought that they were pushing for second.
No, third.
But
if they had dumped Hugh Jackson earlier, they might have.
Let me tell you what, if that tie had been a win.
Yeah, 8-8.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
0-16 to 8-8. That's crazy. I mean, 7-8-1 is still pretty good. So here's another question. Do you think they're going to stick with Greg Williams then, the interim head coach?
I think they kind of have to, right? No, they can find somebody else. Yeah. They don't have to.
You're not going to give them a shot after 5-2?
I mean, all because you're an interim doesn't automatically grant you.
Right. But don't you think he deserves a shot after 5-2?
You know what? With that organization, yes. But that doesn't mean it will happen, though. I sense...
With that organization, they'll probably hire Marvin Lewis.
Dear God, no. No. But I think the Browns are going to want to focus on somebody who can develop a quarterback because Baker Mayfield is legit. They need to make sure that he develops properly. Because if they do, that could be the turnaround that the Browns need in that organization.
Well, there's lots of options just looking at the people fired on this list for them to go and choose from.
And it's gonna now that the Browns prove that they can compete with 7-8-1 as their record this year.
And a lot of those losses were like single score games.
I think that's going to be one of the first head coaching vacancies fulfilled.
Yeah, and you know what? The Browns are sort of a microcosm of what all this coaching change is really about, and it's a changing of the guard. It's a period of transition from the old all-star quarterbacks to the new all-star quarterbacks and the old coaches to the new coaches. You're seeing, some long-time names here. You're seeing some big names here. And just as, the previously good teams are now becoming bad teams, the bad teams are now becoming good teams. So could the Cleveland Browns lead this wave of, newly good...
A time to be born, a time to die,
I'm serious. I mean, you look at this list, the Cardinals, the Bengals, there's a few Broncos, Packers.
These
were previously good teams, and now they're bad teams, but maybe the Browns were catching... going the other way.
Yep.
So just keep an eye out for that. Good teams that are now bad teams.
Right. Denver.
Yeah.
Vance Joseph got the boot after 2 years. This one's not a surprise because with a pretty good defense, they still couldn't put anything together on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. People always forget they still have a great defense.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talented players there. And they have been struggling to find an answer at quarterback,
Is Casey Keenum the real deal? I don't know.
Well, they had Brock Osweiler. They got rid of him. Then they had, who'd they bring in? Paxton Lynch. But they drafted him. And then what? They just decided, nah.
Yeah, because they only picked him in like the fourth round or something. So that was, not much to lose.
You're running with like 78-year-old Peyton Manning.
When they won the Super Bowl, yeah.
But you've got to start thinking towards the future. It's their own fault for taking a quarterback as late as the fourth. They should have planned ahead better.
Yep.
So this is all they're doing, and I guess Vance Joseph just, like, another example of catching a team at a bad period of transition, but he did a really poor job of leading them through it.
Yeah.
Because there's other teams that have weak offenses and really stout defenses, and look at their playoff teams now.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of no excuse.
Yeah. So that decision definitely makes sense.
Yep. I think now we're going to get to Mike's favorite the list here. The Green Bay Packers earlier this season fired Mike McCarthy in the middle of the season.
This does not surprise me at all.
Nope.
Fans of the podcast will know the past few seasons I have been adamant in my position that the Packers are secretly a terrible team that is wearing the disguise of a good team. And finally this year, people are like, oh, wait. You're right. They are secretly terrible. 6-9-1, even with Aaron Rodgers. And this just goes to show you that that entire team is just one person.
Yep.
You remove him for any amount of time, and guess what? He's getting older. It's going to start happening more often. Now he has a history of injury the past few years. What are you going to do? The answer? Nothing, because you have no capital to do it with. You have no coach to do it with. You have no supporting talent to do it with. Enjoy your losing records for the next 5 years, Packers fans.
Okay.
That was like overly vindictive, wasn't it?
Wow, you really don't like the Packers.
It's not that I dislike the Packers. It's just I never understood the hype. They got in as a low seed 1 year. They won the Super Bowl. Great. Fantastic. Literally have done nothing since.
Yeah.
They had that 1-13-3 year, and they lost immediately in the playoffs.
Yeah, they went like 14-2 or something. Yeah, yeah. They lost the first
immediately.
Game.
It was like to the Giants. In Lambeau. Oh, Rodgers is good in Lambeau. No, he loses in Lambeau. So figure it out. And McCarthy is not the one to do it. I think it's a well-deserved firing, but that is another franchise in disrepair. They could be in trouble if they don't figure things out.
Yeah. And they got a lot of problems with, Aaron Rodgers having that massive contract. They really are having a tough time trying to pay other people.
This past season, that was my refrain all year. was that the quarterback contracts in this league are going to end up crippling it.
Yep. And right now the top six out of the top six quarterbacks that got paid the most this year, all six of them not in the playoffs.
Haven't I been saying that all season? I've been saying it, and people probably think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, next year it's going to be a very telling moment how much we pay Carson Wentz and whether or not we're going to be able to stay competitive, because we either got to decide, is it Wentz or is it that defense? You can't have both. If you're going to pay him $30-plus million a year, you can't have both. And the Packers are an excellent example of that.
Yep.
But anyway.
Moving along with the great coach calling of 2018. Next, Miami Dolphins fired Adam Gase.
Yeah.
7-9 record this year.
The Dolphins have really struggled. And they let a lot talented players go. You know, I just think back to last year when we were able to steal Ajayi for, a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, that was under Gase's watch. It's just also funny to think, like, Gase was a really highly sought-after head coach when he said that he was going to, look into head coaching positions. Like, everybody wanted him. The Eagles wanted him.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we have a Super Bowl, and Gase
has
a nice little retirement to look forward to.
Now, he'll find another job somewhere else. But Miami Dolphins, that's another franchise that if they don't take the next couple of steps the right way, they're gonna end up being in the basement of that division. They don't know what they're doing with Ryan Tannehill. They don't know if they're going to get a new quarterback.
Will they really, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, well, here's my point. Will they really end up in the basement? Because Tom Brady, as much as we like to pretend he's immortal, will eventually die a mortal death. Probably.
I don't know. I think the Patriots have sacrificed enough babies that they're fine.
Yeah. It's like, all right, Brady, we've sacrificed four more babies. How many years does that get you? You know? But, I mean, realistically, that division is terrible.
Yeah.
So, I think they just need, maybe if Brady goes down next year, all they need is one or two key players and they can take that division.
The Dolphins can?
The Dolphins can, yeah.
Okay. How about the Jets? Because they just got rid of Todd Bowles.
Probably.
That's what
I'm
gonna call
it. I don't think that's how you pronounce that name.
That's how I'm going to go with it.
Todd
because
Bowles.
They sucked. They absolutely
did.
Sucked.
I remember.
The Jets were are still the laughing stock of that division.
Well, it was like one of the early weeks this season, and they lost. It was like a loss. And people were excited because they thought Sam Darnold was going to be amazing. In a loss.
Oh, the very first game of the season.
Yeah.
They beat the...
Oh, no, they beat them.
They beat the Lions.
Oh, yeah. That,
and everybody
oh,
was like,
was.
Oh, my God, this
yeah.
is it.
4-12 record later.
Yeah. Todd Bowles. Take that.
Let's look at all of the other Jets quarterback signings that they've gone through.
Yeah.
Who'd they have? They had Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. Sanchez.
They had Tim Tebow for a while, didn't
yep.
they?
Mm-hmm.
They had, I'm sure they had a whole bunch of other ones in there that I can't remember because they're nobodies.
McCown. The 38-year-old last year.
Yeah. It's just, they're in a bad way.
They're going to be in the basement as far as I know.
I think Buffalo has a better shot than the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets, that quarterback carousel, you can't, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sam Darnold will be the answer, but. You know, Baker Mayfield taking the 0-16 Browns and winning seven games. You have Sam Darnold, one of the most prized rookie signings, and they only managed 4-12.
Yeah, that's another one. The Jets got to be careful who they choose for their head coach because they got to monitor the progress of Sam Darnold correctly.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
And then one more head coaching vacancy. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers get rid of their head coach, Dirk Cotter. That's another one. Like, they don't know what they're doing. Is it Jameis Winston? Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick? Are they keeping Deshaun Jackson?
I know for a fact that Deshaun Jackson really wants out of there. I mean, that's like no secret anymore. He constantly keeps asking to be traded, wants to come back to Philly, yada, yada, yada. I'd say we should welcome him back with open arms if the price is right. Meanwhile, I think Winston has to be the guy going forward.
I don't know. I think he's a bust, to be honest with you.
I think he's a bust too. But what else do you got? You're really gonna fly with Fitzpatrick?
You could use him as a stopgap. And I'll tell you what, the beginning, the first couple of games that he was a part of, he was electrifying. He threw for 400 yards the one game.
Yeah, but, I mean, they put him back in, what, halfway through the season, and he was terrible again.
Yeah, I don't know. I
And I'm pretty sure...
That's a franchise that has so many questions.
I'm pretty sure that one of the higher-ups in that organization said that whoever the new head coach is has to be comfortable with Winston being quarterback. Mm. So I think they want to run with Winston.
Good luck with that.
I think that's a mistake. I think he's got, you know, on the field and off the field issues, and he's never really proven to be consistent. You know, how much of that was this mediocre head coach? How much of that was just him being a mediocre quarterback? I don't know, but they're, you know, another team facing a very serious crossroads here.
Yep.
Especially they start out. What did they start out like 3-0, 3-0? The Bucks this year, 3-1.
Yep. Whew.
Man, that's rough.
So there you go. That's all the head coaching vacancies. Literally one out of every four teams right now in the NFL looking for a new head coach. So
send in your applications.
Right, exactly, because all the teams need help. But on the flip side, a team that right now, as of this moment of this podcast, doesn't need any help. The Eagles put up a huge win over the Redskins, 24-0, to end the regular season and finish the season 9-7. Sneaking into the playoffs as the sixth seed. Wow.
Man,
this was a game that the Eagles needed to win, and they did. They just kicked down the door and was like, this is it. We're at least going to take our share of the work and do it.
I got to admit, I'm feeling kind of foolish because I was throwing in the towel like 5 weeks ago.
I was too. Oh, yeah.
I was
Everybody was.
They're done.
The game against the Cowboys where they blew that lead and they went into overtime and lost, I was like, no, that's it. That's the death knell.
Yeah.
But no, here they are.
They found a way to fight back. And, man, they beat some good teams, Rich.
Yes, they did.
They beat the Rams, the Texans, a division opponent in the Redskins. That's nothing to sneeze at. That run right there. I think they won like five of their last six games, you know? And when you look at it, we beat a couple playoff teams. We beat the Colts. We beat the Texans. We beat the Rams. And these are good playoff teams, you know?
But we lose to the crappy ones.
But we lose to the crappy ones. I know.
How Philadelphian.
It's just really exciting to see that team finally clicking again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it was. It was a combination of things earlier with the offensive line not being in a groove like they were last year, and the defense missing a lot of players in the secondary. I think now they're finally settling down and, you know, getting used to their roles, and there's a little bit more consistency and stability there. I got to give props where props is due. You got to give credit to Jim Schwartz for turning it around the past few weeks and really, you know, making something work with that cobbled together defense.
Yep.
We were pretty hard on him earlier in the season, rightfully so. I felt he wasn't adjusting properly. But I feel like he turned things around the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of key defensive stops, turnovers, and a lot of that, though, is due to the offense staying on the field longer. The running game is going again. We had 130 rushing yards this past game. Nick Foles is super accurate, like stupidly accurate, 28 of 33. That just helps the entire team perform better.
Yeah.
When you can sustain drives like that.
Yeah, it keeps your defense well-rested.
Yeah, and I think we were lacking that earlier. And, you know, a combination of, like I said, the defense having been cobbled together and Carson Wentz probably not being 100%, probably playing all those games like 80%, you know, nagging knee injury, nagging back injury. They're finally clicking. They're looking like, you know, they're getting a little bit of what they had last year back.
Yep. With that, we say goodbye to the Redskins. They started the season 6-3 and they finished 7-9.
Oh man.
Sorry about that, Redskins. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm particularly sad, but boy, if I were a Redskins fan, I'd be so pissed right now.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's due to the injury to Alex Smith. Yeah, I mean, that really was the turning point in that season.
That is a shame. I feel bad for Alex Smith, but the fact that we got to knock the Redskins out and, you know, put that final nail in the coffin of their season. I'm not shedding many tears over that.
Yep. But now let's get to the bigger issue, and this is the one that everybody in the league is talking about. This is really the true flip side of this. The Eagles made it into the playoffs with their win over the Redskins, but the bigger issue was we needed the Vikings to lose to the Bears so that we could sneak in over them as the sixth seed, and it happened. And not only did it happen in embarrassing fashion for the Vikings. the Vikings played their division game against the Bears, and they came out flat. It was I got to watch the second half, but I heard from a couple of Vikings fans it was the most flat that they'd ever seen this offensive unit come out. You had the team arguing with each other.
Yeah,
the wide receiving core was arguing with the quarterback's coach and Kirk Cousins. The defense just looked like they were giving up on plays. I mean, it was pretty embarrassing here. And this is the thing everybody's talking about. How bad did the Vikings mess up this season? I mean, they went 13-3 last season.
Yep.
They were looking like the Super Bowl favorites until they ran into the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
I mean, just who's the blame for this?
It's almost like I called it a year ago, Rich. allow me a moment to bask in the spotlight.
Go ahead.
Because
I set up the softball. Go ahead.
I have long maintained that this team has remained exactly the same as last year, with the exception of one individual. And that man, boy, worth $90 million cost them 5 wins. Okay? It was also the source of all that arguing on the sideline. You saw Kirk Cousins freaking out towards Adam Thielen, you know, gesturing wildly like a madman, a crazed lunatic, almost like a child who's not getting his way. Almost like somebody who thought that maybe, you know, he believed all the BS about having supporting talent, that maybe he could win some games. Then he realized, oh, wait, maybe I'm just trash. And so he takes out on Adam Thielen, a legitimately great wide receiver. You know, it goes back to what I said when he was with the Redskins. He had great talent. He had tight ends. He had speedy wide receivers. He had a decent defense. He had all these things in place. That team with Alex Smith went 6-3 until he broke his leg in 42 places. Okay? With the same, even worse talent than Kirk Cousins had. Kirk Cousins still, regardless of the situation, has never won more than 9 games.
That's right.
It's the only stat they don't keep track of with quarterbacks, and it's the only stat that matters with him. Because I'm sure he put up 4,500 yards this year. Congratulations. He'll make the Pro Bowl. He'll probably be all pro. Good job. Pat on the back. Let's see. 4,300 yards. 30 touchdowns. 8 wins. After going 13-3 with Case Keenum. 30 touchdowns. 8 wins. Not worth $90 million.
There you go. Mike is happy.
Prove me wrong. Go.
I can't.
Somebody prove me wrong.
I can't prove you wrong. I'm actually going to go out on a limb. I think you're going to be amazed at how far I'm going on this.
Okay.
This is the biggest. The Vikings, the 2018 Vikings team, is the biggest disappointment since the Eagles' dream team. And I'm pretty confident saying that this team should have made the there's no reason this team should not have won that division.
Oh yeah.
And they should be hosting a home playoff game either this week or next week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
they shouldn't have even had to have been sneaking into the playoffs.
Oh yeah. You have the Bears, who barely have an offense, you know, coming in at the third seed. There's no other competition in that division.
Yeah.
You went 13-3. You still have a top 5 ranked defense.
Yes,
you have an incredible offense.
This defense did not lose any key players from last year.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
How does this happen?
It's one it is a rare example of a playoff ready team that got quote unquote better during the offseason. You know what I mean? Like, very rarely does a playoff ready team not lose players but is able to gain players. They should have, for all logic, they should have matched or exceeded their record from last year.
And they didn't. And went really far backwards.
They're paying Kirk Cousins like close to $25 million a year. All guaranteed. All guaranteed. That is on the books no matter what happens with him. They are locked in. They can't sign people with that money now. And this goes back to my point about the money we're giving quarterbacks in this league. I know they're valuable, but this is a great example of how valuable. Are you really willing to put almost $100 million locked in fully? No escape routes, no trap doors to get out of it. What are you going to do now when some of those incredible offensive players like Adam Thielen say, you know what? I want a bigger payday.
What are you going to do when that defense says, you know what? I want to test the free agency market. What are you going to do, Vikings? What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Just
but
like the Packers, be prepared for 5 years of losing records.
I hate to say it, but this might be the end of the Vikings window, if they even had a window for a championship.
This is it. They're locked in 4 years. They either got to make it work or they got to just swallow that lump sum.
And this year, this upcoming offseason, they actually are going to have defensive players leave. There's three of them I know off the top of my head have contracts expiring.
You're telling me Xavier Rhodes isn't going to want to go get paid somewhere else?
Yep.
Who wants to play in Minnesota anyway? Come down to Philly, Xavier Rhodes. We got a home for you, and we're a bustling metropolitan area. I don't want to be up in the barren wastelands of Minnesota.
Okay. Well, that's getting more personal. But anyway, to go back to this whole Vikings.
I got heated there.
Right. Well, I think you're going to get more heated here because after the disappointing loss to the Bears that eliminated their playoff hopes, Kirk Cousins had a press conference. And Vikings fans say that he was a little more optimistic than he should have been.
Yeah, because he's getting paid $90 million to lose games.
Here's what he said during the press conference about the disappointing season that he has helmed.
There, you can point to so many plays, right, through 16 games, where you say, if this one ball bounces this way, we're in the playoffs, even with today. And so you can't get caught up too much in today. They all count one, and you can't get caught up too much in, you know, we didn't deserve this or that. There's only so much you can control as an individual player, and there's so many moments throughout a season out of your control that happen on the field that end up having a big impact on the final outcome of each game. So, you know, at times you have to understand that it's a lot bigger than just any one person.
Okay, so he's...
I mean, he makes a point, but I still hate him.
So he says this, and he's kind of, like, He's very optimistic for some odd reason. And then what the commentators in Minnesota note that he's almost kind of smiling a little bit during this.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be happy in the NFL.
You're not when you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
No. And Pro Football Talk, which is their NBC affiliate show that revolves around the Vikings, their commentators had something to say about his surprisingly optimistic attitude.
If you're watching this on NBCSN and you're wondering why the guy's smiling, you're not alone. He's smiling. He's smiling like the duck that they got when the Bumpus Hounds ate the turkey.
Yeah.
You know, he's smiling at me. Why are you smiling at me, Kirk? Why are you happy? You shouldn't be happy. You should be upset. You should be sullen. You should be more like Baker Mayfield. I guess he's happy because he's got $84 million fully guaranteed, regardless of whether they make it to the playoffs or not. That's why he's happy.
You sound like a bitter Vikings fan. Okay?
I'm not a bitter. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's just being pleasant. He's going home.
Pleasant? What the hell is pleasant?
Well, he's being pleasant. He's not being a jerk to the media. He's trying to answer questions professionally and be a grown man.
Wait a minute. You can be not a jerk to the media and also not have a goofy smile on your face after your season just crashed and burned at a time when you had high expectations, and you're the reason the expectations were high. I don't want to see that goofy smile in your last press conference. I'm not saying come in and start giving everybody the finger. Like you would. I'm just saying, don't be smiling. What are you smiling about? There's nothing to smile about.
It's not a smile.
I just love how frantic he gets towards the end. Why are you smiling?
Why are you smiling?
Stop smiling! Why are you smiling?
I also love the comparison to The Christmas Story. That's great.
His thing at the end where he's like, why are you smiling? It kind of reminded me of the yarn clip from Pat Sajak.
Oh, yeah.
She's a yarn business. She sells yarn.
She sells yarn.
Where he gets so
why are you smiling?
Where he gets so frantic, his voice just like raises two octaves.
Yeah, why are you smiling?
Pleasant? What the hell is pleasant?
Well, he's being pleasant. He's not being a jerk to the media. He's trying to answer questions professionally and be a grown man.
Wait a minute. You can be not a jerk to the media and also not have a goofy smile on your face after your season just crashed and burned at a time when you had high expectations, and you're the reason the expectations were high. I don't want to see that goofy smile in your last press conference. I'm not saying come in and start giving it.
Yeah, so why are you smiling? So I thought that was an interesting little.
I think he makes a great point, and I've, you know, putting aside my irrational hatred for Kirk
Cousins. Mike Florino, by the way, that was his name, sorry.
He's my new best friend.
There you go, call him up.
Yeah.
Mike and Mike. There you go.
There you go. It's,
it's all the mics.
It would make a great show, wouldn't it? It's already a show.
Yes.
So I love his point, and you know, setting aside the irrational hatred of Kirk Cousins, I've also long said that Kirk Cousins struck me as a person that is in it specifically for the paycheck. You know, when he was with the Redskins, I had never seen a person relish so much playing under the franchise tag. And the only reason that he loved playing under the franchise tag is because he was getting paid $30 million a year.
Yeah, you're getting the average of the top five salaries.
Of all the top five quarterbacks. And he almost welcomed it. You know, you see players like Le'Veon Bell trying to take a stand that he wants security. He wants to be long-term with the team. He wants to make a run of things. And then you see the opposite. You know, Le'Veon Bell helping his team win games and get to the playoffs. Like, if they had him this year, it would have been different. Then you have the opposite. You have somebody who has people around him that has a franchise that probably wanted to sign him, but he didn't want to. He was not a team player. He was never a team player. He didn't want to be there. He was cashing a paycheck. And then he did everything in his power to be as average as possible with the most stats to court suitors to get another paycheck, which is fine. You're allowed to do that. It's a business. You know, we put a lot of emotion into it, but these guys are looking at it like a business. But just the callousness with which I think he comported himself, you know, I don't think he was ever in it to win it in Washington. And he's smiling, like that guy said, he's smiling after going 8-7-1 because he has almost $90 million locked in regardless of what he does.
Yeah.
What reason does he have to risk it? You're never going to see him diving at the goal line like Carson Wentz or taking shots to the ribs like Nick Foles as he lays out a bomb. He's not going to do it. That would risk his paycheck. He's always been about the money. And I think that is the underlying reason why I've hated him so much, because he relished the franchise. He's like, yeah, franchise tag me. Come on, do it. Redskins franchise. He wanted the paycheck, and he put in no effort with tons of talent. He had DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon. Put up all those numbers. Where were the wins to go with them?
Yep. So there you go. The Kirk Cousins rant comes back out because it's deserved. The Vikings mess up what should have been a glorious season for him, but apparently, nope.
He has to go 12-4 next year, and then I'll reverse everything I just said.
Okay.
12-4 is the mark.
So there you go. The Vikings mess up this season. Also, real quick, speaking of mess-ups, and since you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, what about the Steelers?
Oh.
They are going through...
Are you talking about the Antonio Brown thing?
Oh, my gosh. Everything. Everything is crumbling apart in Pittsburgh.
I have a knack for, like, sniffing blood in the water. Because didn't I say a few weeks ago that the Steelers were on the verge of collapse?
Yep.
And here they are.
Yeah. Antonio Brown could be getting traded.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Le'Veon Bell's leaving.
Ben Roethlisberger is one bad night away from being hauled off to jail.
Yeah.
You know?
Please don't start drinking.
Yeah, no, and I think Mike Tomlin has lost that locker room.
Yeah.
Completely. Because, you know, earlier in the season you had players commenting on Bell's contract situation, which is a huge no-no. Players should not do that.
Right.
You know,
it's just bad mojo.
It's sort of like an unwritten rule. Then you got Antonio Brown, and he apparently has a beef with Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger says, "Oh no, we're best friends." Clearly not, since Antonio Brown just decided to skip the last game. What's Mike Tomlin doing? He's tripping players on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, this is what that culture breeds. You have two types of culture. You have the culture of Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton, and it can go one of two ways. You can win a lot of games or you can lose a lot of games. And then you have the culture of, like, Doug Peterson, where players want to play for you. I'm not seeing that with the Steelers. I'm seeing the exact opposite. I'm seeing people flee that organization.
Yeah, so... a lot of things to look out for from the teams that didn't make the playoffs. It's kind of ironic. Usually the teams that make the playoffs are the ones writing the headlines, but it seems like right now it's all the teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Because they're all dumpster fires that nobody can look away from.
Right, so it is ridiculous right now. But with that said, now let's look towards the teams that actually did make the playoffs.
Yes.
And it's time to get to our Fantastic Four picks. This time it's for the playoffs, so I got to bring back my popular millionaire music, and it's time for the first round, the wild card round. So this is the entry level to the playoffs, so we have the entry level music from Millionaire.
Thankfully, it's not too stressful yet, just like these games. It's a fun, breezy, picnicky feeling. Not quite, but we'll pretend it is anyway. First up, we have the number 6 seed Indianapolis Colts traveling to the 3rd seed Houston Texans on Saturday, January 5th at 4:30. Rich, the Texans were sort of a surprise hit this year. The Colts are slowly clawing their way back. But who's going to win this one?
I wouldn't say the Houston Texans were a surprise hit. I mean, they had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller is actually an underrated running back. He does the job when he needs to get the job done. And that defense, you know, J.J. Watt leading a ferocious defense. I mean, it hasn't really been, you know, I don't think, I wouldn't say this came out of nowhere.
All right, fair enough.
The Colts, though, I think did come out of nowhere. I mean, a lot of people thought Frank Reich, I mean, first-year head coach, you know, wondering how far he can take the team. I think it's a very commendable job that he's been doing. I think it'll be a close game, especially since it's a division matchup. But I think Houston still takes this they're going to be nice and comfy at home. And I think this is a year for them to go deep in the playoffs. So I think it's Houston at home in this one.
Yeah, the past two games these teams have played have both been decided by a field goal. So this one will probably come down to the wire. And you know what? I gotta go with the hometown team here. And just for the fact that I think they have more weapons. You know, like you said, Deshaun Watson. They have DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, J.J. Watt.
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas. That's
the
right.
The trade that they acquired.
A late addition. I just think that they're built to win. I don't want to say win now because I don't know if they'll make it much further than this game, but I think they're more well-suited for this than the Colts are right now. But maybe in another year or two, the Colts will pose a serious threat in that division. Right now, I think it's the Texans' division, and I think they're going to take this win. Next up, we have the NFC, one of the NFC wildcard matchups, as the 5th seed Seattle Seahawks travels down to Dallas to face off against the 4th seeded Dallas Cowboys. This is a primetime game on Saturday. Rich, who do you think is going to win this one?
Just because of the fact that they're the Dallas Cowboys doesn't mean I'm going to automatically pick against them.
Oh, yes, it does.
But, oh, my God. They looked atrocious against the Giants. They got so lucky that they got the ball back with, like, a minute left to go in that Week 17 matchup. I know that they weren't playing as hard as they could have been because that game didn't mean anything. They couldn't improve their playoff standing. But still, it just looked like they came out flat. And I feel like they've eked their way into, like, a couple of easy victories. On the other hand, Seattle has had to really go through an upswing to get through to the playoffs. They started out kind of slow at the beginning of the season. They got their running game back on track. The defense is doing pretty good. Not Legion of Boom good, but decent enough to ride into the playoffs. And Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson. He can make plays with his legs or his arm. I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one.
Yeah. Here's the thing about playoff teams is I usually side with the team that has more experience. And you can't deny the fact that the Seahawks have more experience here. I know last year the Eagles won the Super Bowl being inexperienced in the playoffs with that unit. But I don't think the Cowboys are there yet. They've had a great run, and you can't take that away from them. That defense is actually quite frightening. But the Seahawks just have more experience. And where the Cowboys are sliding, they are in an upswing. And it's always those tough, gritty, low-seeded teams that wreak havoc on the lesser of the division winners. So I think the Seahawks are going in there with a lot of mojo, with a lot of positivity, and I think they're going to relish going on the road and trying to be a spoiler here. So I'm going with the Seahawks here.
Okay.
Next up, we have actually a rematch from a few weeks ago. The 5th-seeded L.A. Chargers are traveling to Baltimore to face off against the 4th-seeded Ravens. It is a 1 o'clock Sunday game. Rich, who's going to win this one? They really only faced off, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
The Ravens smashed the Chargers. Can they do it again?
You know, this one is going to be the best matchup of the week, especially with Lamar Jackson. I mean, ever since the Ravens switched to Lamar Jackson, this Ravens team has been revitalized. This is a team that you want to keep an eye on, and the future is looking bright for them. But, you know, I got to go with the Chargers. Number one, I think this is finally the year that Phillip Rivers goes deep in the playoffs. They finally got all the pieces together on that Chargers team. And here's something that we keep forgetting. The Chargers, the last half of this season, did not have their number one running back, and they were still putting up decent wins. Now they've got Melvin Gordon back. They've got Austin Eckler back. I mean, I feel like between the trio of them and Phillip Rivers and also Keenan Allen, a star wide receiver, I think this is finally the year that Phillip Rivers goes deep in the playoffs. I'm going Chargers in this one.
I really want to pick the Ravens here. I do. I love that defense. I think the emergence of Lamar Jackson is just incredible. But I can't. Okay. Because, no, I have a reason. It is really, really hard for teams to win two in a row again, or not two in a row, but yeah, two games in a row against the same opponent. Yeah. That's why people always say division rivalries are the toughest, because you play them twice a year. And usually what happens...
Usually you split
because they figure it out. The Chargers, they're a smart franchise. They've got smart players. Phillip Rivers, he's been around a while. I don't think that he's going to make the same mistakes twice. And I don't think that coaching staff is going to make the same mistakes twice. They have a lot of tape on the Ravens now. It's fresh in their minds. I think they're dangerous. I think they can be dangerous here. With that experience from a few weeks ago, I think we're going to see different game plans from both teams to try and throw off the other. But I think the Chargers are just a really well-rounded team, because both teams have good rushing attacks, but the Chargers also have a great passing attack.
Yep.
You know, and when you can spread the ball around and keep it balanced, it makes things tough for that defense. I know the Ravens have a great defense. They're going to be at home. Usually the logic says defense at home, but I just feel like the Chargers are going to go in there with a stronger game plan than they did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, learn from their mistakes. So I'm going to go Chargers. Even though I really want to pick the Ravens, I got to go Chargers.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the best game of the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, almost the best game of the weekend, because we got one more.
Yep.
And, of course, it's the best game of the week. It's the sixth-seeded underdog defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, traveling to the third seed, Chicago Bears. Rich, it is a 4:40 Sunday game. Who's going to win this one? Because we've been saying all year, the Bears can be dangerous. But you know who's dangerous? Hungry dogs. Are we hungry dogs again? I don't know if it gets hungrier than being a sixth seed.
There's a lot of things that dictate that the Eagles are massive underdogs again. Obviously, them being the sixth seed, definitely a huge underdog. I think there was an AccuScore report that said that they have a 1% chance of just making it to the Super Bowl.
Bah.
Yeah, what does AccuScore know?
Yeah.
And then also for Vegas, they are the most lopsided. They're giving the Eagles 6 points on the line.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's not looking good for the Eagles. I'm just really happy the Eagles fought their way, made it to the playoffs, so we can at least say that they are properly trying to defend the crown in the playoffs. But it's time to get back to basics. The Bears are just a nasty defense. I think the first time Khalil Mack gets to Nick Foles, I think this offense gets disrupted. He is just a crazy presence. That is just something you can't account for. He changes the dynamic of the game so much. The only hope is if Trubisky has a horrible first game in the playoffs. I think that's the only key that saves the Eagles. If that doesn't happen, it's Bears all the way. And I don't really see any other way around it. I think this is where the run ends. Thank you for the Bears. Thank you to the Bears for getting us in the playoffs, but I think the Bears put us out as well. I'm crying over here.
Yeah. I disagree.
Okay. Yep, go ahead.
I read a stat somewhere that I for the love of me I can't find right now. But something like playoff winning quarterbacks when facing a first time playoff quarterback are undefeated. And what we have here is we have a veteran team who's been here, done that. Nick Foles especially. Alshon Jeffrey playing against his former team. Recently trash talking them a little bit. His trash talk has always proved right in the past. The Bears, first time playoff team in a while. Inexperienced quarterback. They really rely on that defense. But you know what? Doug Peterson, he can get pretty crazy. And I think if there's a time to pull out all the stops, it would be against this Chicago Bears team. And I think if we can just get a few good plays in on them, get them second-guessing themselves, put them back on their heels, I think the experience of the Eagles is going to take over. And I think that they might be able to pull off a win here. I know it's a daunting challenge. Oh, my gosh. I am so fearful for this team right now. And I'm like 80% sure they probably will lose. But that 20% is overriding all the logic in my brain okay. and is just screaming for me to pick Eagles against my better judgment, because there's just, they finally clicked. They beat the Rams, who we thought, my God, nobody can stop the Rams offense, but then we did. And then they beat the Texans. Oh my gosh, they're a well-balanced team. We can't match up against them, and then we did. Beat the Colts earlier in the year, beat a division rival. 5-6 in our last, 5 out of 6 of our last 6 games. The Eagles are the very definition of a team you want to avoid at all costs in the playoffs. The Giants won a Super Bowl in this same position, you know, back in 2007. Let's make it happen, Captain. Take us back to the promised land, Dougie P. I'm going Eagles.
All right, there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for the wild card weekend of the NFL playoffs. All right, so there you go. The first round of Millionaire Music is done.
I hope I didn't just seal our fates there.
Well, no, actually, if there's any logic to that, I was the one that kept picking against them last year, so
yeah.
My streak continues.
Oh, that's true. That's right. You picked against them yeah.
every step last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, Rich, you never believed in us.
Well, I used it so that the Eagles would make the Super Bowl.
Classic.
Reverse psychology.
Yes,
it worked.
Good job.
It worked.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I was a part of that.
Thank you for that Super Bowl.
Yes, you're welcome. but with that, we need to wrap up the sports sampler. A lot of football news we had there. Hopefully you're not too full, though, because coming next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got new odd news to share with you guys.
I'm ready.
It's been a while. So,
I know.
Looking forward to that. So don't go anywhere. Still more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A lot of news we covered in the sports sampler, including a little bit of Kirk Cousins drama there. So I hope you got that out of your system, Mike.
Not quite.
Not quite, but
it's getting there.
It's getting there.
It makes it easier that he's not in the playoffs.
Okay, good, good. Excellent. But now we're going to switch gears and move to the second portion of our show, where we've got some TV, movie, and other celebrity news. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Andre.
That sounder means one thing, Mike.
It means that we're going to get an Alex Jones clip, I assume.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Oh,
it wouldn't be a new year without a new Alex Jones clip.
That's right, man.
Rich, this just warms the cockles of my heart.
Yes. You know, it's been a while. It's hard to stay in contact with him since he got kicked off of YouTube.
Kicked off of all his social media for being the way he is.
Yes. So it's hard to keep in touch with him. But this clip snuck through and went viral during our special episode. So I have to catch everybody up on this.
Okay.
So the context behind these two clips. Apparently, Alex Jones found video of... I guess this is some sort of thing where you show
it doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm gonna try and explain it the best I can. Apparently the right to dress however you want to be.
Okay.
It's supposed to be like kind of one of those things like you can
Be who you want.
Right, be who you want to be.
Express who you feel you are.
Right, so whether, you know, if you're a dude and you want to dress up like a woman, or right. you're a woman, you want to dress up like a man.
Right.
A-okay.
So it's a video in support of that.
Right.
Is what he found.
Right, and they showed this to children in school.
Okay.
To encourage children to be more accepting of people.
Right.
And
that's an important part of growing up, is realizing that there's people that are going to look different than you, and you need to be accepting of everyone.
Right. But unfortunately, Alex Jones is worried that this is going to be the slippery slope to start allowing drag queens and butch women to teach your children certain things.
Okay.
So here is... this is, get ready. Strap yourselves in.
Oh, boy. Buckle up.
Here's the first clip that I have for you.
I have a few TV stations call me and radio stations. They go, will you please not show or play three-year-olds putting money in G-strings of fat men wearing wigs, shaking their asses? And I go, okay, I'll quit for you. But you understand, this is being shown to children. Adults need to know what the hell's going on. And they go, okay, actually, you're right. But, well, people complain. I go, I know. They need to complain. They should complain about the children being effed with. God. Not me showing you. You think I like seeing this crap? You think it doesn't piss me off? Let me tell you, I'm ready to kill people. I'm sick of this. Not literally. The point is, I'm getting sick of this crap.
All right, so I love the fact that he gets so angry that he actually starts to lose his perception of where the microphone is.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the auditory senses that, like, he's moving away from the microphone.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we've ever had him do in any of his previous clips.
Yeah. Wow.
Also,
he's just all, I don't know where he jumped to with sticking dollars in the G-strings of, what did he say?
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
The children, man. The
children.
Once you see one drag queen, that's it.
That's it. That's
the end right there. But so that's his first blow up.
Okay.
And then here's his second blow up after that.
Another attitude.
Let's just
is...
give all our kids to the child molesters. God damn it. Excuse me. You know, I'm not taking the Lord's name in vain. I want these people damned to hell. I'm literally praying God damn them to hell. That's not the Lord's name in vain. I mean that. I don't take God in vain. We ought to have a prayer called the God damn it prayer. God damn them to hell, please. You think Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes, when he realizes this is Earth and all his family died 10,000 years before and he's come back through a wormhole and everybody he knows is dead and he's saying, God damn them to hell. You bastards, you blew it all up. God damn you. He's not taking Lord's name in vain. He's saying, God damn them. God damn them. God damn them.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I did just take the Lord's name in vain there because...
All right. So first off, I love the fact he's arguing that apparently God damn it now is not a curse word.
Apparently not.
So, yay!
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm gonna curse. I can say, God damn, it's not a curse word, and I'm gonna just show Alex Jones. There you go. not
how do particular religious individuals listen to that and like rationalize? Like,
he's an okay guy.
He just went on this huge tirade. Like, you could tell he was desperately trying to maintain his hold on that audience because he was like trying to rationalize what he was saying. Like, I don't know. He's just, I don't even know where to begin with this.
So that's number one. Apparently, God damn it is not a curse.
Right.
Number two, I just love the fact he does like a random, you know, I would love to, if someone did that to you while they were talking to you, I think you would lose credibility no matter if you were like Albert Einstein or something.
You're just having like an intellectual conversation, blah, 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 E equals MC squared.
You know, like, I'm sorry.
I'm going to start doing that. When I talk to people, I'm just going to...
You lose credibility right then and there.
Yeah.
He is such a weird person.
And then number three, apparently he's going to invent a goddamn it prayer.
Yeah.
Which I think is appropriate. You have prayers that praise the Lord.
Right.
So why don't we have prayers that damn things?
I think the prayer is for asking for God to damn something.
Right. Yeah. You have blessings.
Right.
So there should be the opposite.
Right. It's like, Lord, give him your blessing. Then it's the opposite. Lord, take away the blessing and also condemn him to hell.
Right. There you go.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah. That's what all good Christians should wish upon other good Christians.
Yes. Thank you, Alex Jones.
That's Alex Jones logic. Fantastic.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
The latest from Alex Jones.
I just don't understand. That guy's mind must be the most terrifying place ever.
And there you go. And watch out for the drag queens that are coming to...
They're going
to
make your kids stick dollars in their G-strings, apparently.
Yep, it's coming soon.
I didn't know that was a thing. It's like, hey, children, be accepting. Now give me that dollar in my G-string. Like,
you're not accepting.
Like, what? Yeah. I don't know how he made that leap.
Mike, you have to give me $5 right now.
Oh, jeez.
Or else you're not accepting.
Is it because I wasn't accepting?
Yeah, you're not accepting.
God damn you, Rich. I don't mean... I'm not taking his name in vain. I'm literally asking God to damn you.
Okay, so there you go.
So it's okay. It's just want to make sure that's clear for all the Christian listeners.
You're good on your Catholicism.
On my Catholicism. Yes, Catholicism check.
Yep.
Done.
There you go.
Is that how it works? According to Alex Jones, I guess.
Yeah, this is all the Alex Jones logic. So as far as I'm concerned, everything works.
That is a scary world.
But there you go. We haven't heard from him in a while. The latest from Alex Jones.
It's a good thing we got a chance to catch up with him.
Yeah. All right, now it's time to catch up on things that we need to look forward to this weekend when it comes to movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, what's going to make you scream with Mike's This Week in Entertainment? What do you got?
Well, first up in movies, Escape Room is a new psychological thriller about six strangers who find themselves trapped in the most immersive escape room ever, trying to win $1 million. They must use their wits to solve the puzzles or die. I'm not kidding. That's basically what the copy says. No reviews are in yet, and it's not expected to do very well. But it still looks like a fun and suspenseful thriller based on the recent craze of escape rooms popping up everywhere. I mean, you do have to give them credit for taking something that is, you know, taking pop culture by storm and making it twisted and spooky and suspenseful. I do like that concept. The trailer looked like it could be a fun, you know, romp through this thriller, but don't expect any high cinema here. But anyway, if you're looking for a movie to check out in the cold months of winter, go check out Escape Room in theaters this week. If you want to stay in from the cold outdoors, you can find some new releases on television. This Sunday, big awards show, the 76th Golden Globes, airs Sunday, January 6th on NBC. Movie and TV fans will want to tune in to see which shows and movies will be the favorites in the Emmys and Oscars, respectively. It's also a good opportunity to see stuff that you maybe need to catch up on, like I always do every awards season. I always seem to miss all the important ones, so go check it out to stay abreast. And also in TV, America's Got Talent Champions premieres Monday, January 7th. Hosted by Terry Crews, this special edition of the long-running Variety Act competition show sees top acts from previous seasons of the show and its international counterparts returning for one more shot at winning. I love this show because unlike all the other competition shows, it's not just singing and dancing. They have weird stuff. They got magicians. They got ventriloquists. They got paranormal freaky people.
You love this show.
I really like it. I think everybody should give it a shot because you get to see different types of performances you never see on the other competition shows. How many country singers can you listen to? Really?
Zero.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of American Idol or The Voice or that new one, Singing with a Mask On. Did you see that?
That's the name of the show.
I don't know what the actual name of the show is, but hold on. So normally I tell you what to watch in entertainment. Do not, please, please do not watch Singing with a Mask On or whatever it's called. I don't want that show to get any views because...
I want that to be the actual name of the show
singing
now.
I'm pretty sure it's called Singing with a Mask On.
No, it can't actually be called that.
I'm going to look it up. It's called...
Singing with a Mask On.
The Masked Singer. There you go. I like singing with a mask on better.
Yeah.
But no, TV executives cannot be allowed to think that this stuff passes for good entertainment. So watch America's Got Talent, Champions, or the 76th Golden Globes. Do not watch The Masked Singer. I'm going to do that. We're going to do watch, not watch. Anyway.
Okay.
Moving quickly along. I just had a little mental breakdown there. In video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. One of the highlights for PlayStation gamers includes Portal Knights, which is a co-op sandbox RPG that combines the classic action RPG combat with the building and randomly generated worlds of most sandbox builders like Minecraft. Meanwhile, Xbox users get the critically acclaimed and award-winning platformer Celeste. This one is doing really well. It's won a lot of awards, and people are really, really excited about this one. Players must guide a girl in a trek up a mountainside as she faces her inner demons. The game has garnered heaps of praise for its tackling of complex issues such as mental health, all done in an 8-bit style with chiptune music. So it's like whimsical and nostalgic, but also deeply compelling and moving, and lots of reviewers really love it. It's got mid-90s on Metacritic. So Xbox gamers absolutely do not want to miss this one. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you. Thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. We have a quick topic to get to in the entertainment entree, and it has to do with a video that came out right on Christmas Eve, so we couldn't really talk about it because it happened smack dab in the middle of our two special episodes, but it concerns a show that we used to hold in high regard and an actor that we also used to hold in high regard.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey. First off, I didn't even know he had a YouTube channel, but
that
apparently
I think
he
is
does.
The most alarming part of it all. Yeah. It's just like, hey, I use the YouTubes, kids.
Yeah. Hi, yeah. How you doing? But Kevin Spacey went on his official YouTube channel and released a video on Christmas Eve called Let Me Be Frank, in which he reprises the role of Frank Underwood, but he comments about the current scandal.
I can't.
That he faces in the Me Too movement with his sexual abuse charges mounting up against him.
Yeah, and he handled it so subtly, Rich. Yes. That was sarcasm.
Yes. We'll play the first minute of the video because the whole video is 3 minutes.
Yeah. Go check it out. You know, I hate to give the video views, but definitely go check the whole video out.
Yeah. So here is Kevin Spacey performing as Frank Underwood, but also commenting as Kevin Spacey. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's play the clip.
It speak for itself.
I know what you want. Oh, sure, they may have tried to separate us, but what we have is too strong. It's too powerful. I mean, after all, we shared everything, you and I. I told you my deepest, darkest secrets. I showed you exactly what people are capable of. I shocked you with my honesty, but mostly I challenged you and made you think. And you trusted me, even though you knew you shouldn't. So we're not done, no matter what anyone says. And besides, I know what you want. You want me back. Of course, some believed everything and have just been waiting with bated breath to hear me confess it all. They're just dying to have me declare that everything said is true and that I got what I deserved. Wouldn't that be easy if it was all so simple? Only you and I both know it's never that simple, not in politics and not in life. But you wouldn't believe the worst without evidence, would you? You wouldn't rush to judgments without facts, would you? Did you?
So there you go. That's the first minute of the video.
Oh, boy.
I'll
tell you what. It quite literally makes my skin crawl. is nobody... I don't know. Does he have a publicist? Does he have a manager?
I don't think he does after the whole sexual abuse allegations.
Because you can't say things like, really creepily, I know what you want.
Yeah.
Like, after you've been accused of sexual assault, you open a video and say, I know what you want. Really? Bad optics much? It was almost, not almost, it was kind of nauseating.
Do you agree?
Yeah, but I don't. So here's the weird part.
It and reeks of desperation.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something. This definitely sounds like something a desperate man would do, trying to cling on to like the old role that made him famous, yeah. and trying to use that to bounce back.
Yeah, but also to gloss over everything. Like, it's just
now. But here's the thing, though. The internet is 50-50 on this. Actually,
really.
Matter of fact, slightly more positive. Because on the YouTube video, it has 214,000 likes compared to 61,000 dislikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The internet. What? Oh.
Also, a lot of people are saying this is better than season 6 of actual House of Cards, which is
true. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
Don't waste your time.
Oh, it really?
Yeah. I try. You know, I'm trying to be like the whole give it a shot.
Right, right.
But it falls apart. It really, the whole story is built around Frank Underwood. To show you, you're not, I don't know.
I did kind of want to watch it, but okay.
Mild spoiler.
It doesn't.
Very mild spoiler. Yeah. The fact that they still have to reference to Frank Underwood in every episode shows you how much of a key character he is.
Well, I mean, imagine if they removed Walter White from the last season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You know, and they made it all about... Now, I'm not saying his wife wasn't a compelling character. I'm not saying that the supporting cast weren't compelling characters. But when a show is built around...
The show is built around
the
one character.
When someone is the central cog, think of it like a machine, and you remove that central cog seconds before the machine is turned on. Because in terms of television production, that's what they did. They wrote him out. They delayed the season. And that delay wasn't so they could, you know, snip a few clips. It was so they could probably completely rework it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I highly doubt they went into it with the story that they have presented.
No, they didn't.
They
had to rewrite the whole series.
You know, both me and you have, you know, worked in creative aspects. And you know how difficult it is when something, the central cog of something is just ripped straight out of it. And you're forced to write around it in the most awkward way possible.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not saying that Claire Underwood isn't a compelling character. I'm not saying that Robin Wright isn't an amazing actress. We're just saying that when something is designed, you know, for a specific part or around a specific part and you rip that thing out of it, it's going to be lackluster.
Yeah. And unfortunately, season 6 was, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and apparently
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure I will be very disappointed.
I don't think you should waste your time.
To be honest, though, haven't really been that excited since season 2 anyway, though. So
yeah, but here's the problem, though. Kevin Spacey is trying to like stir that emotion up,
right,
by bringing back Frank Underwood, right. And then he's trying to do some sort of magic act where he is trying to get you to use that desire to have Frank Underwood back to try and just wipe out everything that happened that he did as Kevin Spacey with the sexual allegations.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
And that's kind of a nasty trick, and it's leaving a sour taste in my mouth.
It's a clear misdirection, and if you really pick apart the language and why I find it so nauseating and skin-crawling is that, you know, just like with his apology, I don't know if people remember the apology.
Oh, yeah, he came out as gay. Oh,
right.
I'm gay, by the way.
And if you listen to that video, he says, I shared my deepest, darkest secrets with you. It's almost like he's blaming people for not supporting him in his coming out in what was supposed to be an apology. Like, he's shifting the focus away from the victims of the allegations to him. He's making himself the victim.
Right.
And that's what's so nauseating about it, is because... What blows me away is that I was a huge fan of Kevin Spacey in that role. You know, in the past year, it's just like everything's been flipped on its head. You know, I listen to what he says, those phrases, I can't get over. You know what I want. I know what you want. Oh, it just seems very predatory. And then he flips the script and he makes it like, I shared my secrets with you. You know, weren't you supposed to be there for me? Why are you believing what the media says over what I've told you? You know, it's very accusatory, which is like a bizarro world because he's the one that's being accused. And he's the one that's facing a court date coming up.
Yeah, see, so
you
here's
know,
something
it,
else, too.
It's so blatant.
Right, here's something else, too, that I'm really surprised people just kind of shove under the rug. Is This isn't just general accusations against Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey actually has a charge waiting for him in Massachusetts.
And it's something that happened in 2016. This is something that happened 20 years ago.
He has to show up in court to prevent jail time from happening.
Yeah, he was accused of sexually assaulting an 18-year-old in 2016. This isn't something when he was a young guy. This was three years ago.
Right. And that's what I think is really kind of startling about everything, is people are willing to just either they don't put two and two together on that, or they try and swipe that under the rug.
Well, the sad thing is that I don't think it's either of those things. I think Kevin Spacey's ploy is working. Honestly, I think Kevin Spacey's ploy is working. When the first accusation came out, he quote-unquote apologized and came out as gay at the same time, almost like he was insinuating that his actions were excused because he was homosexual, which is just insane in and of itself. But now that he's facing a court date, he magically comes out with this video from left field, completely unwanted, completely uncalled for. Nobody was clamoring for Kevin Spacey to release a one-off three-minute video on YouTube as Frank Underwood. Nobody wanted that.
No, but people wanted Frank Underwood back.
People wanted Frank Underwood back, but did you want him back like that? Do you want him back in this creepy, I know what you want. I just, that line, just listen to it. I know what you want. It sounds like he is getting ready to assault somebody.
He's going to assault the show again.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I can't separate the two. I can't separate the allegations and then him, you know, opening a video with, I know what you want. Like, that, to me, really bad optics.
I think the problem is he can't separate it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to use the whole anger of not having Frank Underwood in season 6, and he's trying to use it as, like, a shield to defend himself.
Yeah. And, like I said, it reeks of desperation.
But for some people, it's working. That's
really shocking.
It's got 200,000 likes on the YouTube video.
That's really shocking.
Yeah.
And actually kind of upsetting, too.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe people are giving him a second chance and you know, the whole innocent until proven guilty. But I don't know. I think it's tough.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's tough when you actually have felony charges.
Yeah.
You got to fight against.
I mean, legally, yes, innocent until proven guilty. But there's multiple allegations now at this point. And he's appearing in court for some of them. So it gets harder and harder to say, well, maybe it was a misunderstanding, when there's multiple allegations, you know? And don't we also, just as much as we have to say, you know, innocent until proven guilty, don't we also have somewhat of an obligation to say, hey, let's take these victims' words at face value?
When there's this much smoke, there's got to be a little bit of fire.
Exactly. And you don't want to fall into the trap of blaming the victims or writing off the victims' claims, because that's also a slippery slope right there. And, you know, just to put into perspective what we're saying, take everything we've said, people, and Rich, if you just do me a favor and play the opening of that clip again. No, really, really. Think about everything we've said. The allegations and the way he's using it as a shield and the way it's reeking of desperation. Just listen to those opening lines again. Tell me if it doesn't make your skin crawl and your blood curdle. Go ahead.
I know what you want. Oh, sure, they may have tried to separate us, but what we have is too strong. It's too powerful. I mean, after all, we shared everything, you and I. I told you my deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It's a little eerie.
Yeah. Isn't that what you would imagine? Somebody saying to somebody they're about to sexually assault? I know that sounds really grim, but are we getting too grim for a fun, lighthearted podcast? Right. I feel like sometimes we have to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because
it's important.
Right, and Kevin Spacey was one of my favorite actors before all this.
This is as much a social issue as it is an entertainment issue.
He's in a lot of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
You know? So it's hard to square this. You know what? To me, the creepy part is now when I look back on his roles.
What was that one about? I can't remember the title of the movie. What is it? The paper bag. What is it?
The paper. You're talking about the box? What's in the box?
No,
Seven?
No.
No? What?
Am I thinking of the wrong guy? The plastic bag! He's watching the video of the plastic bag.
Oh, American Beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh, there's that.
And you watch it and you're like,
No, I'm thinking,
I know what you want. Yeah, it's like, that well, is no, like...
How about Kaiser Soze in The Usual Suspects when he
Never actually seen that movie. So, catch yourself right there.
Well, because
I know there's a big twist. I just don't know what the big twist is. But anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's super creepy.
Yeah.
He's super creepy. And I can't understand how anybody could listen to the opening of that video and not immediately be like put off by it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, there's a certain element like, oh, yay, Frank Underwood, that accent, you know, but at the same time, just.
Yeah. It reeks of desperation.
It really does.
But unfortunately, that's how we got to end the entertainment entree, because speaking of desperate people, I've got some desperate people in the odd news that we need to talk about coming up in the non-fortune cookie odd news. A fresh batch for 2019
yes.
coming your way. I can't wait to get into it. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. And, oh my gosh, it's been a while.
It has been.
You know,
the last 2 weeks we had special odd news segments.
Yeah, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes.
And that's what happens when we do those two back-to-back special episodes. Is like, oh my gosh, like, I have so much odd news to tell you, Mike.
And I can't wait to hear it all.
That's right.
That's
so I guess it's time to unleash it on you.
Yes, it is. It's time for one of my favorite segments of all time. Last but certainly not the least of the segments of the show, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odds news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
News.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news, the first of the new year. This is the very first batch of 2019 odd news. For those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, and he keeps them hidden from me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. It's been 3 weeks since we've had new odd news, so I am raring to get into them. These stories always take us down wacky wild paths. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. Even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen. Let's dive on in. Rich, what do you got for us?
Okay. You know what? It's a new year, 2019. We got to start off on the right foot. So let's go to Florida and our first odd news story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Here you go. You got to go back to a good old standby.
Yeah.
Good old
and,
Florida.
This is just good old-fashioned crazy.
Okay.
Officials in Collier County, Florida, have described an odd situation that allegedly occurred over the weekend in the arrest of a woman. 52-year-old Lita Christostomo was arrested Saturday after she caused a scene, robbed the USPS truck, brandished a toy gun, and then claim that she was God.
Wow.
It's an awesome God he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Got to start off on a good, crazy story.
That's right. I love when people claim their God.
And
as if that will absolve them of their crimes.
And boy, God tells you you got to steal that USPS truck.
Right.
The Postal Service needs religious help immediately.
That's right. God really, really just wants some mail other people.
He needs his delivery from Amazon.
Yeah. God, you know, even he can't get good service.
I said it was on Prime, damn it.
Yeah. He's like, me, damn it. I pay good money to get free two-day delivery.
That's not a curse. It's not a curse either.
Did you notice I said me, damn it?
Right. Exactly.
God damn it.
Right.
Yeah.
Good job. Way to fulfill the role, Mike.
I try. It's the little things.
So deputies...
So this lady is God.
Yeah, deputies arrived in response to a report that a woman was pointing a gun at people in the area. One alleged victim told authorities that Christostomo pointed a gun at a postal worker and made him get out of the truck before he retrieved a package from the back and handed it to her. Law enforcement eventually found Christostomo, who was at the time riding a boy's tricycle.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, wow. It's the royal tricycle. The holy tricycle.
So you're telling me God's preferred method of transportation is a child's tricycle?
Yes.
An all-powerful being who could snap his fingers.
It's like...
And create or destroy life itself gets around on a tricycle.
Yeah, it's
not
like,
even a bicycle.
No.
He needs the extra wheels because he's not used to it
yet. He doesn't want to fall off.
He doesn't want to fall. God's a little timid.
Right. It's like Morgan Freeman when he's God and he's fascinated by the clapper. Clap off.
Yeah.
It's little things that make you laugh.
Right, exactly. I guess being an all-powerful being, you're like, oh, it gets boring just flying everywhere instantly. I don't know. Does God fly? I don't know. I'm a little rusty on the whole God science. I just assume he flies. He's like Santa Claus. He just... So I guess
him and Santa Claus race off against each other every year.
Exactly. They have a drag race across...
The universe.
Yeah. Across the universe. Santa is now an interstellar being.
Yeah.
So that revelation aside...
Space light.
It's just a rocket ship. The reindeer just plastered to the side of it. But that aside, I guess you're right. As an all-powerful being, you can just do whatever you want. I guess there's a sense of reward and fulfillment from, you know, pedaling yourself along. Like, you know, he gets a little chuckle out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, leg day.
Of course.
Helps him out on leg
day. Of course.
So when the cops drove up next to her, she gave herself up. She then rode her tricycle onto the grass before giving up and placing her hands behind her back. Once deputies apprehended Christostomo, she told them again that, quote, I am God, and that I have specific instructions.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
False. I found a hole in her story. If she's God, who's giving her instructions?
Is it the Holy Spirit or Jesus or one of the Trinity, whatever?
Aren't they all on, like, the same level of management?
Is there an organizational chart we can look at?
Hey, the Catholic Church is all about organizational structure.
Yeah, who's at the tippy top?
So, right, if God is getting, who's God getting orders from?
Yeah.
I feel like this is a conspiracy so big, we need to get, like,
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
We need your help on this.
I know. Well, he's got the inside track on the goddamn prayer.
Right. So
maybe he knows. Maybe he knows who's actually calling the shots. If not God, then who?
Maybe it's Alex Jones giving the instructions.
Whoa. Wouldn't that be a plot twist? Oh, man.
And he really needs this package.
Yeah. It's his bone broth.
Yeah. The bone broth is very important. Was. Well, he's gonna use the bone broth, and he's going to remake Adam and Eve. There you go.
Out of the bone broth.
Out of the bone broth, yeah.
Sure. Wait, why is he remaking Adam and Eve? just because. It's just an after-school activity.
Yep, he's bored.
He's just riding his tricycle.
He can't post on YouTube anymore, so...
He's got to do something.
He's got to do something with
his
time.
Might as well create life out of nothing.
With the bone broth.
With the bone broth. Isn't that an ad campaign?
Yeah. So they arrested Christostomo on...
Also, can I just point out, that's a cool name. It's got like a rhythm to it.
No, it's not. It's hard to say.
I know it's hard for you to say, but it's got like a rhythm like Christostomos.
It's got too many O's in it. I don't know where it's going.
Just like she doesn't know where she's going.
So they arrested Christostomos on felony charges of armed robbery and aggravated assault. Although it was discovered that the gun was a toy gun.
Can't even bring a real gun to the odd news.
I think you
disappoint me, Florida.
I think that's unfair. I don't think she should get the felony charge. It's a fake gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how those things work, but if it's not a real gun, can you really... It's just not a deadly weapon, right?
Yeah.
What was the charge again?
Armed robbery and aggravated assault.
I guess she is still robbing them. She could use the fake gun as a club. That's still armed. She's armed with something.
She's a special kind of crazy. She's God crazy.
Right, exactly.
All right. She doesn't need jail. She needs a mental institution.
Yeah.
Very different. She's still in custody as of Monday. So I think she'll be in custody for a little bit of time there. Poor God. Yeah, I love it anytime I can break out the God music.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love your God music.
Yep. Okay, where should I go from here? I'm going to go... All right, I got two stories here that for some odd reason, I don't know if this is like a new Christmas tradition or something. I've got two odd news stories here that have to deal with tacos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Around Christmas time.
Right. Very odd.
I guess people aren't into the whole traditional... I don't know.
I guess they're trying something new.
What do Americans do? Turkey?
Turkey, seven fishes, Italians, come on.
They don't want any of that. They want tacos.
They want some tacos. And this one is Oklahoma.
Okay. Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. I know you were waiting for me to sing the song of the lyrics. I can't remember.
For tacos.
For tacos. T-A-C-O-S, tacos.
There you go. Well, this one, I know you love your angry stories, so here's a good one here. Incensed that his taco sauce was not included with his order, a criminal opened fire at a drive-thru, shooting up the restaurant's drive-thru window and station, according to police.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell, Incherito Macho Burrito.
Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang. Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't get his sauce.
Yes.
And he's like, the appropriate response
is to freak
is
out
to shoot them.
And just unleash a
this
unleash
is, you
a whole
know,
drive-by
you know
of,
this
of
is,
bullets.
You know this is always my problem with these stories, is people go from, I am mildly inconvenienced, I should commit murder.
Yeah.
Like, there's no middle ground. There's no,
I
like,
need to un- I,
should I ask for sauce?
I need to pull out my gun!
Right, exactly. That's what you get in Oklahoma, I guess.
There was a firefight!
I don't know what that is.
Boondock Saints.
Oh. Oh, yeah, where
just
Willem
randomly,
Dafoe.
Yeah, randomly going to pull out his gun.
Yeah.
There were no taco sauces! according to cops, the customer picked up his order at 1:30 in the morning at the drive-thru window at the Oklahoma City Taco Bell. But the man soon returned at the drive-thru window, yelling that employees did not include his favorite taco sauce packets with his order.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell, Incherito Macho Burrito.
It's such a simple fix. Like, this is a Taco Bell, yes?
Yes, Taco Bell.
The sauces are free. You can just walk in, take a sauce...
Well, not at 1:30 in the morning. You have to go through your drive-thru.
Okay. You go into the drive-thru and say, can I have a sauce? And they'll be like, sure. They're free. There's nothing else required of you.
I'm in turmoil.
Yeah, I know.
How could you do this to me?
Like, what was his thinking? He took a bite and he said, my God, my life is ruined. I had a bite of taco without sauce on it. Really? Really? You'll survive. Also, tacos at 1:30, that is going to wreak havoc on your stomach, buddy. And you deserve every second of it.
The criminal, who was described as a black man wearing a green hoodie, was so distressed by the taco sauce error that he pulled out his gun and immediately opened fire, striking the exterior of the Taco Bell and hitting the drive-thru window. When shots rang out, workers locked themselves inside a bathroom, so nobody was injured. So good.
Well, that was good.
Good job on the workers. But here's the kicker. He drove away and the cops did not arrive on the scene in the nick of time. So he's actually on the loose right now in Oklahoma.
So he never got a sauce.
No, I guess he never got a sauce either.
That's the biggest takeaway, though, because he went through all these lengths to get his sauce. And then what do you do? Did he not eat the tacos?
I guess he threw them out. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Or maybe
you
eat them.
Okay, Rich, you didn't get the sauce. Are you just going to throw out your tacos?
Oh, no, I would eat them. No, I'm hungry.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But I don't know about this guy. This guy is really adamant about his taco sauce.
But you were so angry about not having the sauce that you went and shot up the place, and then you left without the sauce.
Yeah, well, he needed to get out of there before the cops came.
Maybe don't put yourself in a situation where you have to worry about getting out of there before the cops get there.
Yeah.
Just constructive criticism. Everyone.
Oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell. Product placement with Taco Bell. Incherito macho burrito.
Yeah, but, you know, in my defense, out of all the places, that's where you're going to go to, Taco Bell.
Yeah. Well, what other taco places open at 1:30 in the morning?
Do you really need tacos?
To give you explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that just sounds like a bad recipe.
It's like...
You're not going to go to sleep.
Yeah, it's 1:30 in the morning.
You're going to be
like,
stuck on the toilet.
You know what I could go for? Some explosive diarrhea that's going to keep me up all night. And you know what would make it even better? If I get some of that hot sauce so it burns like hell coming out.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves it. He deserves his sauce.
Yeah, there are better options to choose.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go from... Oh, actually... We're going from Oklahoma to Dallas.
Oh, God.
Oklahoma City to Dallas.
Oh, it's getting worse, Rich.
Is that, I don't think, I mean, maybe it's a little bit farther than I'm imagining because I don't know out west, but.
I don't know.
It should be, I don't know, in my mind, I think it would be a car drive because it's you're just going north and south, but I don't know.
You can go from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City to Dallas.
To Dallas.
How far away is it?
3 hours and 14 minutes by car.
Yeah, so it's a day drive.
Yeah, it's a long drive, but it's doable.
Well, there you go. These guys really wanted tacos. We're going from Oklahoma City to Dallas.
That'd be funny if it was the same people, just on a nonstop quest to find their
it
sauce.
Maybe it is, because the first guy wasn't caught.
He's like, damn, I can't find my sauce. I better go to Dallas.
I gotta go all the way down.
3.25 hours away.
You know what city doesn't mess around with their tacos? Dallas.
Yeah, exactly.
A little city called Dallas.
Just a tiny... Hole in the wall city, Dallas.
Yeah. Well, this is another weird story involving tacos. A man in Dallas was busted on Christmas Eve after he tried to carjack several drivers at gunpoint to demand that he needed to get some tacos from them, according to police.
No, I'm gonna f-ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yeah, I gotta get those tacos.
So you got one guy shooting up a place. Yeah, another guy carjacking people.
Yeah.
All in the name of tacos.
Yeah. Are we underestimating tacos? Apparently, people
we might love them. We might be, yeah. Now, wait. Hold on. Why did he need to carjack them to get tacos?
He really wanted tacos.
Yeah, but what was preventing him from acquiring tacos without carjacking them?
No tacos in walking distance?
Is that what it was? There's no tacos in walking distance?
Well, here's what happened. 26-year-old Roberto A. Canamar Garza remain held on $500,000 bail on Thursday following his rampage.
Did you say $500,000?
Yeah.
Oh, what, did he carjack them with a missile? Wait, time, $500,000?
Yeah. They don't mess around in Texas.
As in $500,000.
Yes.
As in five followed by five zeros.
Yes.
For carjacking.
Yes.
Dude, we've had stories where people have committed acts of terrorism and it's like $20. People are whipping out their willies and twirling around like, you know, that's
$5.
Do you have like a coupon to Rita's or something? Is your carjack somebody $500,000?
Yeah.
Okay. There's got to be more to this.
So This started Monday afternoon. He hopped into a car and pulled out a gun before demanding that the driver needed to go get him some damn tacos, according to the arrest warrant. The frightened driver then dropped Garza off at a taco stand near a tire shop and sped off. That prompted the taco-obsessed suspect to follow another man who was walking out of Pedro's tire shop, where he threatened a second man with a gun, saying that now he needed different tacos.
What?
Gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yes. I need more. This one taco stand doesn't have enough.
So, oh, man, that is just, I love that. He's like, I got tacos. But I need more, and they need to be different.
Yes.
I can't just have more of the same. I need more, but also different tacos. This man is on, like, a Lord of the Rings-style never-ending quest to acquire the perfect taco.
All tacos in the Dallas area.
Wow. And he's just going to carjack. He's just going to carjack person after person.
Yeah.
Each leg of the journey.
Unfortunately, the man was able to drive away without him getting in the car. So Garza then set his sights on a third man.
Oh, my God.
But when this guy tried to drive away, he squeezed off two rounds.
Oh, no.
How dare you?
Yeah.
This is an epic taco quest. Help!
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
I can't believe people are willing to shoot people over tacos.
Yeah.
They're like 99 cents. It's just meat in a really thin piece of bread.
Yeah. Is it really all that?
I love a taco as much as the next guy, but it's not worth killing people over.
Yeah. So this bizarre food-fueled frenzy continued when Garza then ran into the middle of a nearby main street where he tried to carjack another driver.
Okay, I'm starting to see why it's $500,000 a bail. Because he's up to, what, four now?
Four, yeah, this is his fourth time, yeah. Four.
Also, he's really bad at carjacking.
Yeah, right? He's one. He's,
so far, he's 1-4.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten one yet.
It's terrible.
He then tried to get into a parked car.
That's five now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude, just quit. Just quit now.
He's having a really bad day.
I know, really.
That's when somebody tried to confront him, and that's when he threatened that guy with being shot at. That person then tried to grab the gun away from him.
Oh, boy.
As they struggled to control the weapon, the gun fired. Luckily, it didn't hit anybody.
Wow.
A witness also then tried to subdue the gun.
Subdue the gun? Or the person wielding the gun?
Subdue the person wielding the gun.
She's just going to choke out the gun.
Stop firing!
Stop smiling. Yeah, why are you smiling?
Stop firing! that finally, at this point, this is when police arrived.
Wow.
Garza is now being held on four counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and one count of aggravated kidnapping. So, yeah, there you go. That's $500,000. That's $100,000 for each charge.
That seems reasonable, I guess.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, at first I was like, $500,000, that doesn't make sense. I didn't realize that he tried to carjack half the city of Dallas.
Yeah.
And failed miserably.
And failed, he only got one.
That first guy, man, he kind of sucks at not being carjacked.
Yeah, he just gave up.
What's the bigger story, the fact that this guy sucks at carjacking, or the fact that first guy was the only one this terrible carjacker was able to get?
Yeah, he just went, all right, fine, I guess.
He's like, yeah. It's like, I could go for a taco,
you know what?
Too.
Yeah, I could go for a taco, too. I'll come with you.
I mean, really, really, though, if you're in that situation, like, don't freak out. Just be like, all right, I'll just get tacos for lunch, and this guy will tag around, and he'll just have a gun pointed at me.
You know,
like,
what?
Don't lose your cool. Just be like, all right, let's go get tacos.
We need to we should make an app, and it'll be like, do you feel like having a taco
Oh,
today?
Okay.
And then,
that's where you're going with
and
it.
And then other people in the area who want to get tacos match up with them.
Taco match.
Right, taco match, yeah.
And then
you guys go get tacos together.
That's a great idea. It's a hyper-specific idea, but I feel like people would like that.
For those days where you feel like you need a taco, but you don't want to go alone.
Taco tracker. Taco trek. Taco. I'm trying to think of alliteration.
Yeah. Taco companion.
Taco-panion.
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 There you go.
There you go. Yeah, it looks for It looks for single taco aficionados right. in your area.
Right.
You know, like all those banner ads. Are you looking for hot tacos in your area? Hot local tacos?
Yeah, there you go.
Taco pan. Why did I make it a sex thing? I don't know.
Mike, you just... I don't know. You're just crazy over there.
I'm just crazy over there.
But...
But yeah, Taco Panion, I like it.
Yeah, there
it's
you
a
go.
Great idea.
Right. Because, you know, you don't want to go get a taco
Can
by yourself.
Can anyone develop an app for us?
Yes. We want
Tweet
tacos.
At us, at the Crispy Noodle, hashtag
Taco
Panion.
Taco Panion.
Make it happen.
There you go.
But put our name on it.
Right. And
give us the money.
Right. We need the money. Because
You're licensing our likenesses.
Yeah. And we're operating out of a studio kitchen.
Yes.
So please
That's how
us.
It works now, people.
Yes.
Okay.
Copyright 2019.
Yes, we did it. We're successful app developers now.
Okay.
Fantastic.
How about... Oh, I got two... You ready for this? I got two stories from Iowa.
Huh.
Yeah.
Iowa trying to make a name for themselves. Big boys over there in Iowa.
Right. Are they trying to cut in on our action
here?
Trying
to be big shots, yeah.
Right, well,
let's see how they stack up to the likes of tacos in Florida.
Yeah. Well, this first one is just dumb, and just pure dumb. An Iowa woman who left her three small children home late Thursday night was arrested on child endangerment charges after one of the children called 911 to report that her mom and dad left, and now she can't watch YouTube.
Oh, no.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I can't watch YouTube now. Help.
This is
crossing the line.
It really is.
How can you leave children without their YouTube?
I mean, you know, it's one thing if you don't feed and clothe and house your children, but
or
God,
monitor them.
If you take away their goddamn YouTube, you are a monster. A monster!
Yes, how dare you? Especially in Iowa.
I know.
There's nothing to do in Iowa.
Kids love YouTube, though.
Yeah. Investigators charged a 23-year-old Natalie Cal left the children ages 5, 3, and 1 alone in their house at 10 p.m.
I think that's the bigger issue, not the YouTube.
Yeah, it is. Police were dispatched to the residence after one of the children called 911 to report that she could not watch YouTube videos online. Oh, man, how can you live with yourself?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police. Consequences will never be the same.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that was literally reporting to the cyber police.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, see, the kid shouldn't have called 911. She should have called the cyber police.
Oh,
that's what she needed.
And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police because you done goofed.
Cops estimated that Cal left the children by themselves for an hour.
Okay.
That's
bad, but I'm sure they're fine.
Cal returned to the home while officers were inside the residence with her children. Cal reported that she left the house because she wanted to go see her boyfriend. Oh, it was a romantic reason.
Tell the boyfriend to come over, though. What a deadbeat. It's like... I could go visit you, or you could come visit me as I watch my three children who need me because they're all under the age of 5.
I just don't do kids.
I just don't do kids. Oh, man. You know, props to that kid, though, for, like, one, knowing how to call 911, and then two, realizing that the real issue was the fact that they couldn't watch YouTube.
Yeah, boy, that's the straw.
You don't want to busy the cops
with,
like...
The final straw.
Yeah, you don't want to busy the cops with, like, nonsense like, you know, child endangerment.
No.
Nobody cares about that.
No.
The YouTube, though, they got right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
That's a smart kid there.
Yeah. Call was arrested on 3 counts of misdemeanor child endangerment, and she also faces a charge of drug paraphernalia after cops searched... They searched her house and found marijuana in her bedroom.
The marijuana.
Yep. The wacky tobacky.
Gets you every time.
Yep. All right. Second Iowa story here. This one's
quick.
Oh,
that's right. Two Iowa stories.
Yep. Two for the price of one here. And this one is just a quick hit right here. Not a whole lot of information, but just funny to imagine. In Des Moines... a man was jailed on Monday after police said that he assaulted a convenience store clerk with a bunch of bananas.
Is bananas B
bananas.
Time's been around that track, but it's not just gonna happen like that, cause I ain't no hollaback girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the song.
Good song. Everybody, look, if you don't like that song, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, and, right? And because of that, you know how to properly spell bananas now.
Exactly. Exactly. Teaching kids
yes.
how to spell bananas.
With Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
police responded to reports of a dispute at a Quick Trip gas store. According to police, the store clerk reported being chased around the store by 26-year-old Rogelio Tapia. Police said that Tapia chased the clerk around the store and threw multiple bananas at him as they proceeded around the store. Yeah, literally, like, this is like something out of like a cartoon. Like, ah!
This is literally like the plot of a Donkey Kong video game.
Yeah, ah, take that.
But I mean, this person has a limited supply of ammunition, right?
I don't know.
Like, how many bananas can you possibly carry in with you to assault somebody?
Well, apparently, some of the bananas hit display stands.
Oh no!
And according to the store, it caused $1,000 worth of damage.
No, it didn't.
That's what it says in the news report.
No, it a banana.
I guess
$1,000.
If you throw it really hard, maybe.
What did it break?
Display stands.
What does that mean? A stack of tasty cakes? Like if I storm into a Wawa and I start throwing bananas, what am I going to do? Going to knock down a few wraps out of the, you know, the cold section?
Those poor wraps had families to go to.
Like, that's what I mean, though. You're not, that's not $1,000. No, they're just BSing. How many bananas did this person throw?
A lot.
What is a lot? I want to know. Did he carry, like, an entire stalk of bananas, well, or was it just, like, a bunch you buy at the Acme?
It's enough to chase the clerk around. That's not, like, one or two.
That poor clerk.
That's, like, a dozen. You got to think about, like, he's running around the entire store throwing the bananas at him.
It's more hassle than it's worth. Like, you got to walk you got to walk in with, like, two bunches of bananas, you know?
Tapia is charged with simple assault, interference with officials, and third-degree criminal mischief.
Third-degree criminal mischief.
Yeah.
That's, like, the weakest charge I've ever heard of.
Well, he was using bananas.
Yeah, but third-degree criminal... How is it third-degree criminal mischief?
Bananas.
What is second and first-degree criminal mischief? It sounds like a charge like Bart Simpson would get.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know? Oh, man.
But
that's great. I love that.
There you go. Bananas. All right, and I got one last story here for you.
Okay.
And I think you're going to like this one, because, wow, I was blown away by this, reading this story.
Okay.
We're going to go to Connecticut in this one.
Huh. I don't think we've ever really been there much.
Yeah, I think we have before, but not like this.
Okay.
A Connecticut landscaper who is facing a voyeurism charge for secretly recording a sexual encounter with a female friend was jailed this week for violating a protective order barring him from contacting the victim.
That sounds all very serious for the Odd News.
52-year-old Robert Somley is being held in the Bridgeport jail on a $150,000 bond after he sought to intimidate the 48-year-old victim. But the story of how the sexual acts happen are even weirder than one could believe. Are you ready?
Okay. Sure.
To show you how weird this is, I had to put it in bullet points.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this is a long list.
I wish people could see this. It's like an entire printed page.
Yeah, so
for
get
people
ready.
That don't know, usually the stories are like, what, a third, half a page? This is a whole page of bullet points.
Yeah, so get ready. Buckle in. This is how the day's events transpired. All
click.
Right?
You hear that? That's my seatbelt. Buckle.
Buckle in here. So here's how the story happened. The victim, who is a married woman, was helping Robert Somley load wood into a trailer.
Oh, is that what they call it now?
Well, that's
loading wood.
That's what she was supposed to be doing.
Okay. Then she started loading another type of wood.
She dated.
It doesn't even make sense. Go ahead.
She dated Somley 20 years ago and had reconnected with him recently.
Aw. It's an age, you know, it's a long lost flame.
Right, there. Right. Trying to reignite the flame.
Yeah.
Well, when 15 minutes passed and Somley did not appear to join her to load the trailer with wood, the woman then confronted him at his apartment. There, she found Somley completely naked and watching porn on a laptop.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Somley then told the woman that, quote, I have to jerk off before we start to work.
Okay.
He's got FYI.
He's got to handle his wood before he handles the other wood.
Right, right. It's logical steps. Right,
exactly. It's a process.
I have to start my wood, you know, before we continue on with the other wood.
Exactly. Makes perfect sense.
Somley then asked her to go outside and give and please give me a few minutes. Okay. So then after this, 20 minutes went by.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a few. Yeah, this is 20 minutes now. And Somley had not appeared outside. The woman then again entered his residence. This time, Somley was naked and near the entrance with maple syrup covering his penis.
Okay.
He then noted that, quote, it's very sweet.
How'd you get to be so sweet? How'd you get to be so sweet?
Asked you very nicely.
Won't you tell me very kindly? How'd you get to be so sweet?
By rubbing maple syrup on my junk.
Yeah, right? That should have been the next line of the song.
Wow, so, that's subtle.
Right, so
saying,
now...
hey, I taste like pancakes.
Do you like pancakes?
Do you like pancakes? Some people like to dip sausage in their syrup.
Well, I'm dipping my sausage in the syrup.
Do you like sausage with syrup on it?
Do you like maple sausage?
Maple sausage.
So, all right, so now we're at this point. Now he's got maple...
He came prepared for all this.
Yeah.
You don't just have maple syrup handy.
For this
and
reason.
Ready to go, yeah.
Yeah. So now he's got
a maple syrup slathered dong.
Right. And noted that it's very sweet. But the woman did not run away. Instead, the woman began touching her breasts, which left her in a turned on state, according
Uh-oh.
To the police report.
Uh-oh.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
By the way, I gotta love this PG phrasing of this. This has left her in a turned-on state.
Yeah. Oh, my. Whatever
oh
is she
my.
To do?
What kind of mental state are you in? She's turned on. Oh,
a
no.
turned-on mental state.
God help us.
I like the fact, though. Let's break this down for a second.
Yes.
Right? So she walks in, sees him jacking it. That doesn't do it for her.
Right. I'll
it's
it.
Only after the maple syrup is introduced. That gets her all hot and bothered.
Yeah, whoa.
Think about that first. She walks in, he's jacking it, nothing. Cold as ice. She walks in, sees maple syrup, she's like, whoa, time to go.
Uh-oh, it's time.
Yeah, it's got to be the maple syrup. That's the differentiating factor there.
Well, maybe she likes maple syrup.
Maybe.
Okay, so now she's...
So she's rubbing her breasts.
Right, and
he's rubbing his wood.
Right.
There's maple syrup just everywhere. Just
right.
flying.
And she goes for it.
Uh-oh.
The victim did add in the police report that she was a willing participant in the sexual activity that followed. In addition to the maple syrup, Somley also pulled out some blueberry jelly and rubbed it on their stomachs.
He's making breakfast.
How'd you get to be so sweet? How'd you get to be so sweet?
Asked you very nicely.
Won't you tell me very kindly? How'd you get to be so sweet?
By rubbing maple syrup on my junk and then blueberry jam on my tummy.
Yeah, there you go.
So wait, so he gets what blueberry jam. Right?
Yes.
Or jelly? And he rubs it on their stomachs.
Yes.
Why the stomachs?
I don't know. I guess it's very erotic.
It's very, yes, the stomach is a very erotic place.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So,
Yeah.
The only thing that can make this better is he pulls out another type of breakfast food. Please tell me he pulls out another type of breakfast food.
No, unfortunately.
Damn.
But the story's not over.
There's always a but.
The sexual activity, though, had to come to a pause when 52-year-old Somley noted that he had extreme back pain. And that's when he pulled out his Asper cream and rubbed it on his back.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's a yes.
I love this. So he's got, recap.
Yeah.
He's got maple syrup all up in his junk.
Right.
He's got blueberry jam all over his belly.
Yes.
And now he's got
his back
covered in like
Asper cream. Yeah.
That's amazing. So
what a combo.
He's just, we've had stories where people cover themselves and stuff, but this guy.
He's like piece by piece.
Yeah. He's like paint by numbers, you know? He's got a little bit everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a mosaic of sexuality.
Yes.
Of and breakfast pain. Sexuality and pain. Yes. I mean, would it really be sexy without a tiny bit of pain, though?
Yeah.
You know?
That's.
Please tell me there's more. He pulls out another cream.
This
Come
the,
on.
No,
Come
but,
on. Go for it.
No, but this is the next line. Literally the next line. Somley then asked if the woman could blow him.
That's the logical next step.
Boy, Asper cream makes you.
Yeah.
I really need you to do some oral on me right now.
Well, you know, I mean, he couldn't focus on everything with his back in so much pain. And then after you relieve the back pain, you know, that's the next logical step.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
It's going to taste like maple sausage. Why yeah. not?
That's when she went down on her knees, she noticed that he was recording her with his cell phone.
Oh. She only noticed it at that point.
Yeah.
Where was his cell phone? In his hand?
I guess it was
propped up somewhere.
Somley reportedly replied that, quote, it was nothing, and that it was going to be really fun later when we played the video out. The woman then said that she was very upset and started to freak out. When the woman asked Somley to delete the footage, he refused. Then the victim, I don't know why she did this route, the victim even offered $1,000 cash for him to delete the footage.
Wow.
So you are already committing a crime by taping somebody against their permission.
Yeah.
Then they're offering you $1,000 to delete the footage and for you to get Scott clear of the crime.
Yeah, and possibly still get blown.
And still get blown.
I mean, this guy.
The slim chance at that point.
Yeah. I mean, he may have hurt his chances.
I think the mood went out when that happened.
I don't know, though. I mean, maybe if you add some, like, strawberries to it, you know.
We forgot about the other foods.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got maple syrup and blueberries. I mean, look, it only took maple syrup to get her touching her breasts.
Yeah.
The Asper cream made her start blowing them.
Right. So if
you add some strawberries or some other breakfast food and, you know, forget it,
an
man.
An orgy's going to break out.
Yeah, exactly. Some other random people just kick down the door fully naked. They're like, let's go. Breakfast, yeah. Breakfast sex.
Did we hear breakfast?
Did we hear breakfast? You just storm the room. Do we hear breakfast? We're naked.
It's time.
Oh, man.
So he declined that offer.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, come on,
And that's when the woman called police.
You messed up.
Yeah, you really did.
Because you done goofed.
Somley was arrested for voyeurism with malice, which is a felony.
With malice. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's an interesting charge.
But he was released from jail after posting a $50,000 bond.
See?
But then he was rearrested Monday for witness tampering.
Ah, there you go.
So now he's on a $150,000 bond.
Wow.
So
this dude just keeps digging that hole deeper and deeper.
Yeah, he doesn't know
when to
stop.
It started out so positively. I mean, really think about it. He went from being a little bit freaky. He gets some maple syrup out. But you know what? It ended up working out because then she starts touching her boobs.
Yeah.
And you go from wooing someone with maple syrup to being $150,000
bond. Yeah.
Like,
in jail.
What a crazy spiral.
Yep. All he needed to do was say yes to the $1,000.
I know.
Or how about and just you, not record? How about not right, creepily exactly. record in
You
in
can
the
have
background.
Breakfast and sex and $1,000.
Yeah.
And instead now he's has $150,000
bond. You could have had maple syrup sausage every morning with this woman.
Exactly. He messed up big time.
Yeah.
But you know, he kind of deserves it for being so stupid.
Yep. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News to start off 2019. How was that, Mike?
What a way to kick it off.
Yes.
Oh, man. And I suddenly really want breakfast.
I'm going to just assume you mean breakfast and not...
Yes. I love breakfast. Actual breakfast.
Because, you know, what you do with maple syrup is on your own time. I'm going to leave in a couple minutes.
I use Log Cabin first off. So I don't have any maple syrup present.
Okay. Whatever you
what
do.
What brand of syrup do you like? Mrs. Buttersworth?
Like Aunt Jemima's?
You like Aunt Jemima's?
Yeah.
Sexy Aunt Jemima?
Yeah, sexy Aunt Jemima. Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, why are all the syrups named after women?
Because they know Mrs. what they're doing. They know what they're doing with the maple syrup. Yeah.
Yeah. See, really, syrup is the key.
Gotta try it now.
It turns on that woman. Yeah, you know, you just gotta deal with a little bit of the stickiness. You're gonna get sticky anyway.
Yeah, right? There's gonna be a little residue after.
Yeah, you might as well just... Yeah, clean up afterwards. You might as well just have, you know, two birds with one stone. It's like, let's have breakfast and go out at the same time. So you want sausage with breakfast? Here you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's real sausage and my sausage.
Bam!
All right. Well, I think we know the first thing on our next part. What have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
All right, so there you go. Maple syrup.
Pro tip. Maple syrup. Yeah. There you go.
Maple syrup in bed.
Because breakfast really gets people turned on.
Yeah.
What was the phrase exactly? It left her in a turned on state.
Right.
Very clinical, but still kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Because of the breakfast.
And rubbing your boobs.
And rubbing boobs. That's right.
I want that.
That's right. But only with the maple syrup.
Right. Only with the maple syrup.
Yeah. That's how you get that far is the maple syrup. That's the secret.
And isn't it sweet?
And is it? Yeah. So there you go. Hot tips here from the Crispy Noodle. We also learned, this is going to be a hard turn. Don't deprive your kids of YouTube, you monsters.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah, don't do it.
There are just some injustices in the world we can't stand.
That's right, and that's one of them. Oh, you bastards. But I also learned that on the positive side of things, we have a new app coming out. Tacopanion.
Yeah, Tacopanion.
It's a new crispy noodle app for people looking to find others to get tacos with.
Yeah, it's always a little awkward to get tacos by yourself. So,
right, yeah. It's like, I wish I had somebody to get tacos with, you know?
Right,
now,
we're going to bring people together.
Exactly. Bringing people together one taco at a time.
Yeah.
That is...
2019.
Oh, it's so uplifting. So wholesome.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know what's not wholesome? Is, You shouldn't have put yourself in a situation in which you have to worry about leaving before the cops arrive.
Yeah, that's never good.
If you find yourself ever saying, boy, I better get out of here before the cops show up,
might be a bad sign.
You probably messed up at some point in the evening, you know?
Yeah, it might be a bad sign.
And finally, I learned that God's preferred method of transportation in 2019 is a child's tricycle.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because it helps with leg day.
Yeah, right. And also,
that's
strengthens
rule.
Your leg muscle.
God has gotta keep those quads and those glutes and those other leg muscles going.
Yeah, he's got to look better than Santa.
That's right, yeah. It's for their competition.
For their interdimensional race.
Yeah, we also learned that Santa now can fly interstellarly with his sleigh.
Yes.
Interstellar sleigh.
He's got to beat Santa.
Hey, God, this podcast is just a font of knowledge.
Yep. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and with that, it's time to wrap this episode up. Our very first episode of 2019 in the books.
I think we got things off to a really good start.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting sports, some audio bits, in the entertainment entree. Yeah. And then, of course, just outrageous stories in the odd news.
Lots of food in the odd news.
Yeah. I kind of want a taco now.
Yeah. I know, right? After all those stories of tacos.
Get me that taco panion
app. Taco panion app.
I need. Do you want to go? Actually, you want to go get tacos?
I'd love to get tacos.
All right, let's go get tacos.
Yeah, we got to wrap this thing up so we can get tacos.
Yeah. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on our little show, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, search The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, search at The Crispy Noodle. And search us on Instagram at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you get the latest, where you get all the latest interviews, best bits, and videos. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to on the go with friends and family and enjoy the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, maybe to share sports updates, entertainment news, or even odd stories you want us to cover in the odd news, you can find us individually. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening in your world. And, yeah, with the playoff games this weekend, yeah, we'll have some live tweeting happening during those as well. But for this episode, it's time to wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Hope you enjoyed our first episode, and we got plenty more episodes to come in 2019.
That's right.
But until then, we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble!
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!